What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
You know, it's not surprising that I'm here, Ben. I feel like it's more surprising that you're here.
It is surprising that I am here. And to be honest with you, I it is Wednesday. We normally record the pop on Mondays, and it has been like day after day of feeling like absolute just death.
Yeah.
It has not been like the most delightful past several days of my life.
I would say it's been like, it seems like you've been having like just a string of unlucky events in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's well said. I mean, like, to say it's maybe been like one of the worst weeks of my life is like probably not far from the truth.
Sure.
In terms of like the bizarre number of things that keep happening to me. But yeah, I've been sick for about 5 days now, and it has been the most typical Ben type of sickness ever. Just, I think, because like if there is one test that I cannot pass, it is a strep test.
Yeah,
I cannot get a positive strep test to save my life. And
you like, want to pass this test?
Well, like, okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you grew up as like a strep haver.
I did. I had strep a bunch. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Bunch of confirmed cases. The delightful thing, and not that I would ever wish strep throat on anybody in any capacity, because it doesn't seem fun. But the one good thing about having strep is that it's a bacterial infection and therefore treatable with antibiotics.
Right.
And so it's sort of like whenever I am in a lot of like illness related pain, like I'm already bad about going to the doctor. And most of the time, like when I'm sick, I will be like hyper hesitant to go a lot longer than I probably should.
Right.
And it's been one of those things like where throughout the course of my life, in adulthood, I have had shingles, which is untreatable. I have had hand, foot, mouth disease, which is untreatable. And then just like a myriad of ailments, you know, like we all have seasonally, all of which, you know, like when I go to the doctor, it's like, oh, my throat is absolutely killing me. It's like, can I endure the strep test? Which, if you've never had it done before, is so much worse than the COVID test because it involves the swab going down your throat instead of, you know, up your nose.
It's you feel like you're going to gag. I mean, you pretty much will.
You will gag.
Yeah, because they will touch the back of your throat.
Right. And I think like it's always like one of those things where I'm mostly going to the urgent care facility with the hopes that it will end up being that. And I'll get there and they'll be like, ah, you have strep. No problem. Here's the prescription. You can pick it up next door.
Right.
Go about beyond your way. You'll be better in like 48 hours.
Right. Yes. Take the medicine. By tomorrow morning, you will be significantly better.
Yes.
Right.
To date, and I don't know if there's a way to like search your entire life's medical records. I don't think I've ever had strep throat.
Wow.
Never. And it's like one of those things where it's like, it sounds like I'm bragging. I would rather have strep. Because then they can cure it.
Right.
Then they can do something about it.
Right.
And it's like at
just
least
random viral strain is terrible.
Yes.
Because it's very much like a wait it out.
Exactly. And, and this is like why I'm always so hesitant to ever go to the doctor, because every time I go, there's nothing they can do. There was even an instance once where I'm sure we talked about it in like an early episode of the pop, where I had like a really horrific scratch from Indy on my eyeball.
Yeah.
Where I just woke up one morning and she just wanted pets, and she was like laying on my chest and she like reached forward with her paw and just like scratched down my face, and I was like, oh my gosh, my eye is like so painful. And I went to the urgent care that day and they're like, oh yeah, you've got a scratch on your eye. And it was like, cool, what do we do? And they're like, nothing.
Yeah,
like wait it out. And I'm like, why is it always the case that the answer is nothing?
They didn't give you like drops or anything?
No.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. Boy, yeah. Speaking of eyes, I feel like maybe I had my goggles on too tight this morning. There's like I'm having a weird eye day myself. I've got like a floating brown spot that like I cannot see through in my right eye right now.
And oh,
it's really frustrating. So excuse me if I appear to just be moving my eyes around in a weird way. I'm just making sure I'm not going blind.
You got like one of those like eye floaters.
But it's like really big.
Oh no.
Like a cloud.
Like that's not good.
I know. Yeah. I agree. I'm just sort of like, well, this is literally never happened. But I'm having a weird eye day. I came in. Sometimes I get those like really bright floaties. And if I just put on sunglasses for like 15, 20 minutes, it'll just sort of go away.
Yeah.
Which worked earlier, but now something else is. I feel like I got to stay away from some bright lights today. I don't know what's going on.
Although, yeah, of course, we've got our drive.
I say that as if we're not, you guys can't see it, but just off camera is the largest light we have.
Yeah, it is.
It's not turned on to full brightness, mind you, but.
No. I want to say it is at least 4 feet across, though. It is quite a large boy.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I have, sometimes it'll happen if I'm working on Photoshop and I have to use, like, if I dip into the colors that are like, you know, like bright cyan or yellow or like red, which are like extremely bright on a computer screen.
Right.
Like, you know, if you can imagine like 1990s website colors.
Right.
You know, and this week in particular, I spent probably like, I don't know, 3 hours yesterday working on a thumbnail for our newest video that's coming out today, which is about K-pop Demon Hunters.
Ayo!
Hey, I know. Finally watched it. And there are a lot of those colors in their, like, palette.
Oh!
And so I kept really having to, like just look away or keep the brightness on my computer down so that it wasn't like affecting my eyes. But otherwise, I really enjoyed the color palette, and the movie was awesome, and the music was great, and I was like, man, this is cool. I like this stuff.
That's awesome. No, I know. Yeah. It's been like one of those things where we're like on tour, and I feel like people would like every night they would be like, have you guys watched K-pop Demon Hunter yet? And we were like, no, we haven't. Like, how have we been meaning to, been trying to, you know, like, is it good for the kids? Like asking all the questions and everything. And you finally got around to watching it. I've still not watched it. And so I need to, because there's certain things on the channel that I feel like we produce that you have consumed more heavily than me. And then it makes me less than useless.
Yeah. Course, useless.
Well, of course, this time I was not even.
You weren't here.
Yes.
I know. This was like, Ben's not here and I just watched it. Like, if not now, when? Not now, when? This is one that I think I can write myself. I had to do a quick, like, you know, crash course in like Korean mythology and K-pop music in general.
Right.
To try and tackle it, which is to say, I'm sure I just missed a bunch of other obvious references and stuff because that world is like huge.
Oh,
and,
sure.
Yeah. But then I discovered that like the band is based on like, or the band of the movie Huntrix is based on like a real life band called Blackpink, which if you watch White Lotus, if you remember Mook from the most recent season.
Yes.
Mook is like, she's almost like a side character in White Lotus, but is casually high and away the most famous person on that cast.
Crazy.
Like as a member of the band Blackpink. And yeah, like I was watching some of their music videos yesterday and I was like, oh my God, they are awesome. They are so good.
That's so wild. Yeah. It's like it would be like if Taylor Swift was just like casually starring in some like Korean drama as like, you know, a maid.
Right. Exactly. You know? Exactly. It's like when Taylor Swift is in The Giver, you're like, oh, that was weird.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Those are the kinds of things though, that I feel like she hadn't become capital TS Taylor Swift yet.
You know,
like, I mean, she was still very much on her way.
Yeah. Well, Lisa is capital LISA. I think that's literally how it's presented.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Already.
Wow.
But yeah. In any case, go check out K-pop Demon Hunters, and my eyes are hopefully okay. The floaty has gone away now that I've talked about it. It seems like maybe naming it got rid of it.
You scared it off.
I did. Yes, oh, get yes, out of here, you weird cloud. I don't know what's going on here.
You know, that's the other weird thing, too, though, about illnesses sometimes, is to even know, like, what to call it.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like, it's like, I feel miserable, and I don't know why, and then you'll go, and they're like, oh, you have this, and it's like, oh. Haha.
Yeah.
Now I know how to hate it.
It's like anytime you bring your car to the mechanic, it's always like, it is such a problem until you bring it there. And like, what's the problem? And you turn on your car, it's like, I'm fine. What are you talking about?
I'm all good.
I'm running on all cylinders. I don't know what weird clunky dunky smoke noise you're talking about.
This happens, you know?
Every time.
I wonder what it's like for the mechanics of the world who are like literally on the receiving end of that. And they're like, we never get to see it. We never get to see what's actually going on.
I've never seen a single car that doesn't run appropriately, actually.
Right. Yeah.
Everyone brings us high functioning vehicles.
But the reality is the mechanics are like, no, that's not how it is.
Yeah, no.
We see broken things all the time.
All of the time. You had to bring your car to a mechanic last week, speaking of more bad luck.
Yeah, Ben Carlin's worst week ever.
Ben Carlin's worst week ever. Let's continue walking down that road.
Yeah, why don't we? Yeah. Because I'm certainly not driving down it.
oh no.
Goodness gracious. So this is another thing that has happened to me in the past week. I was watching Monday Night Football, where the Commanders lost. With a field goal kick right there at the end, and I was like, wow, my night can't get any worse. And then I went upstairs and was crawling basically into bed at approximately 11:20 at night when my night got worse, because there was an extremely loud sound from outside, and you know, Alice was asleep because she had just gone up to bed early anyway, and we were like, what was that? And like, it's crazy, like, we live, you know, in the city. Like, you know, like Alice always refers to her house as like the cottage in the city or whatever. And so it's like, it's not uncommon for us to like hear noises from time to time.
Right.
Like, even just like the occasional, just like kids that are setting off like fireworks or just like a car backfire or, yeah, you know, I mean, like
that,
you know,
but like you say cottage in the city. It's not like the beginning of Up where you have like a house surrounded by skyscrapers.
No. Yeah. But like
you're like in a neighborhood. But
I'm in a neighborhood, right. But in the city.
In the city, yes.
And so it's like one of those things. So we like, you know, you hear noises and like all the time, you know, like we'll be like sitting on the couch at night and you'll hear like a loud bang or whatever. And it's like, you'll always be like, oh, was that a gunshot? And it's like, it never is, but it always sounds like it. And so sure enough, we heard this like really, really loud noise. And we're like, what on earth was that? So Alice and I both get up. It wakes her up from asleep. I'm basically asleep. You know, we run outside and we've got like our screened in porch. So that's like kind of like our way to go and inspect like what's going on outside without going fully outside, because you're sort of like still medium grade protected, because in the dark especially nobody's gonna be able to like see in through the screens and see us like out there in case like there is actual danger, which, you know, obviously that's just us being like overly cautious and stuff, but,
right.
But anyway, so we're like, you know, we're kind of like looking out at the scene, which near as we can tell is just basically like an empty night, like it almost always is when we hear something. And I'm sort of like looking over and I'm like, well, the cars look okay, and you know, like that's all fine. And then all of a sudden I see like the lights coming on all my neighbors, and like people are like coming out like in their bedclothes and, you know, like wearing robes and, you know, like slippers or pajamas or just like whatever, you know, they were in the middle of the night or threw on in a second. And it's like, okay, no, something actually happened. And so, you know, I kind of like go weave our way out, and sure enough, like there is just glass all over the middle of the road. We look across the street and my across the street neighbor's Jeep is like up on the sidewalk, and then I turn the corner and get like a look at the other side of my truck, and the driver's side like front of the vehicle has just been like demolished,
right?
Like, I mean,
smashed in,
just smashed like a can, you know, like, I mean, it's just like parts are hanging off everywhere. Like I say, I mean, there's glass all over the place, and we're just trying to figure out like what happened. And so like, you know, we're taken to the scene. We immediately call the police and we're sort of like, hey, you know, like our cars were hit and run. And, you know, like, we don't know what this is. Like,
right.
You know, like it's so funny because there's like a Dane Cook bit about like a car crash happening in the middle of the night, and like everybody goes outside and they're all like explaining like what they were doing. Like, I was washing a dish and then I came outside, you know, like they're all like just explaining like the completely like unimportant details of what they were doing when they heard the noise and they came outside.
Right.
And like that was this, like we're all, nobody has any more information than anybody else. We're all looking at exactly the same evidence. We're all just trying to figure out what it is. But what was really insane about it was the amount of damage to both vehicles that were struck, the sheer amount of glass, like I say, all over the road. I mean, like just absolutely everywhere. Like Alice's car was parked 3 feet in front of my car, completely untouched.
Right.
But there was like glass completely underneath her vehicle. There was glass like in like the spokes of her wheels, you know, like, I mean, it was just, it's so much.
Right.
But what's shocking about it is that neither of the broken vehicles, my truck or the Jeep across the road, have any smashed glass.
Right. So basically someone came flying down the street, ran into one of your cars.
Yeah, ran into the Jeep across the street, which ran into a tree and then bounced backwards.
Right.
So you could see this huge gouge in the tree that the Jeep had ran into. And then the front and back end of the Jeep are both crunched.
Right.
And then
so they kick it into reverse.
I don't even think they kicked it into reverse. I literally think they hit that vehicle with like the front right of their vehicle and then bounced across the street and ran square into my vehicle.
I see.
And I mean, that's the best I can surmise based on what happened, because there's no way in the world they could have picked up the speed to do the amount of damage they did to my truck from 10 feet across the road.
I see.
Like, you couldn't have accelerated to more than...
Right. They hit them, yanked the steering wheel left, came across the street, smashed into your car.
And then they... And that's it, one of the noises we heard was them peeling out.
Right.
And there's like tire tracks...
Right.
You know, in the middle of the road, but where they clearly like did like a burnout.
And in the midst of the wrecking of the other two vehicles, one of their windows, at least one, smashed.
Yes.
And littered the ground with glass.
Littered the ground with glass. So I suspect that their windshield, if not also side windows, were completely destroyed. Like they were driving away from the scene with their front right broken, their front left broken, and possibly no windshield, possibly no windows.
Right.
But then in addition to that, it seems that the trunk of their vehicle, or if it was a truck, I have no idea, must have just like blown stuff everywhere, because then in addition to the rest of the wreckage, there's like jumper cables, there's like a bag of like new, you know, drills, like power drills, there's other random like car parts that also just seem like they don't belong to anything. You know, they're just like random bits of black plastic and rubber and stuff that's just like all over the place. There was a fishing pole, like,
right,
like, you know
what?
I mean, it felt like walking into like a real life crime scene. You know, you're just like, what is this? Like, what happened?
Right.
You know,
how'd they drive away?
That is the question that like we were all like, I mean, you know, so it took like 45 minutes for the police to get there. And then when they finally did, they went out and they were like, well, they couldn't have gotten far. So like, we'll go and like look for it. And sure enough, they were like, well, we can't find them anywhere. And they were like, you know, if they pulled into a garage, then, you know, if they just pull into the garage and shut the door, it's like, there's no way for us to get in. There's no way for us to know. So it's like, as long as they just don't open the garage door, they'll be safe.
Right.
You know, from whatever. But then of course you have the additional issue that like, you don't have their insurance to pay for it.
Right.
Like, so then you have to file everything under your own insurance claim and all that type of stuff. And, you know, then for whatever reason, like, you know, it's actually very comical, because I had a motion sensor light facing the vehicles installed when we were doing all of our renovations, because our cars get shuffled fairly often
right
in the middle of the night. And the bulbs on that had burned out a couple of years ago, and I just never got around to fixing it. And Kat here in office had just recently purchased a new house and was like, hey, could you help me install some new like Ring floodlight cameras?
Right.
And I was like, you know, I should get one, because I have just the spot to install it, and then I would actually have a camera facing that way, not just floodlights. So literally like just the week prior, I was like, I should do this. And so we're, you know, but I literally ordered them and hadn't installed them yet. So don't have any visuals on the scene. None of my across the street neighbors had Ring doorbell cameras. So we're just like, we're upriver without a paddle, basically.
Right.
Like, you know, there's no way to investigate further.
Right.
And it's kind of like, it's like one of those very frustrating things. And like, I also get it, because it's not crime that needs like more due attention. It's just an unfortunate circumstance.
Right.
But you know, you're reading a lot about it and you're like, in hit and runs, like people just get away all the time. It's like only like in 10% of the cases.
Right. It's like, it'd be so hard to find them typically.
Yes, exactly. So then the next morning I've got like the convenience store down the road from me, and they have cameras everywhere. Cause they've been broken into a couple of times. There's been some incidents down there, and I know the guys because I go there constantly. I think this is like one of those things we talked about again early on in the pop. I have a deep love for convenience stores.
I know you do.
And so like the guys know me, they know Addison, they know, you know, Alice. Like we walk in there, it's always like, hey, how are you, how good, you know, like all the standard things. And so, you know, the next morning I go down there like absolute first thing. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning, and I walk in and I see my usual guy, and I'm like, hey, good morning. Like, you know, I was curious, like I had the hit and run done. Like, do you guys by chance have a camera that faces in this particular direction? And the guy's looking at me and he's got tears in his eyes, and he's just like, you know, like just, he looks like, I mean, he looks miserable. And I'm like, whoa, like what's going on? Is everything okay? And unfortunately, his father had passed away at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Goodness me.
I know. And so he's just looking at me and you can tell he's like on one of those like pure autopilot situations where like, obviously he is dealing with a much greater problem than I am. And it's like one of those things where he's like, he's trying to talk to me. He's trying to explain to me like why he doesn't have time to like look at the cameras. He's just literally training the dude next to him so that that guy can operate the cash register so he can leave.
Right.
Like he's like, I'm sorry. It's going to be like two weeks. And it's a family owned business. The whole family has been vacant from the store for 2 weeks, or not 2 weeks. They've at least since it's Wednesday now, this has happened now like 9 days ago.
Right.
So none of the guys have been back there the whole time. But sure enough, I can see on the big screen TV that they have in there that they have a camera facing in the exact direction that would be like leaving the scene of the crime. And so it's like there is 100%
right, like
footage it of the vehicle.
It exists as long as they're like, if you can, if hopefully, you know, a week from now when they're back and can look at it, hopefully it still exists and it isn't like a, we only keep the footage for 24 hours kind of situation.
This is exactly what's going to happen. And I am right. So certain of it where it's like, yes, we do have a camera facing that direction. Yes, it would have been able to pick a license plate. No, we don't have it still.
Right.
So it's just been like
that's
a total
so frustrating
nightmare situation. And from there, it continued to just obviously like it's one of these things where you're trying to roll with the punches because it's just like it's just unfortunate. You know, the good news was that like me, Allie, Addy, my cross street neighbor, none of us were in the vehicles.
Right.
You know, like everyone was safe. Like that's obviously the most important thing. Like the biggest disappointment for me is like I've just spent like the last like 6 months rebuilding the front end of my vehicle, like making upgrades to it. Cause I have just like, I really like vehicles. I like tinkering with them.
Yeah.
And you know, my truck is something I've had since 2017. I feel like I have like a relationship with my truck,
right?
You know, it's like a part of me, like an extension of me or something. And so it's like I've gone through and, you know, I've wired in like LED headlights and I've replaced, you know, like a fancy, you know, grill and fog lights and, you know, like all this stuff to the front end of the vehicle. So it's had this like, you know, cool new like look to it and everything. And now it's all destroyed.
So frustrating. So frustrating. Do you? Okay. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there is an element of universal shopping happening here, Ben?
I absolutely do. Yeah. I've brought this up with Alice. I was like, it's like I'm not supposed to have it or something. I don't know.
Right. Well, like, and then there's like also the, like, I think we talked about this in the pop a couple of weeks ago. Like you just moved the boat is not in the driveway.
Yes.
Right.
So I've been parking the truck in the driveway.
Right.
And what happened was last Monday at work, we wrapped up early and we took off. We went home early.
Right. We went home early
from work. And, you know, it was just like one of those days where it was like, guys, we got the job done today. Like, please go enjoy an early afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, no problem. I pull up at my house and I would normally just pull over and pull into my driveway. And that very day, Addison was playing in the yard and she ran up to the fence. And so I was just sort of like on autopilot.
Right.
Pulled in right behind Alice and was just sort of like, yeah, I'll just pop out here. Like, no big deal. I've parked this way for the past 5 years.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah. No one's going to hit me.
I mean, it didn't even occur to me.
No, I know. Yeah. Why would you?
Right. It's like, I'm literally doing what has been normal for me up until what would have been the available, you know, because we bought the dock.
Right.
The boat is no longer in the driveway. So for the first time in forever, the driveway's available.
Right.
So that's the other just unbelievable thing is that like so many other instances, I would have just parked it ordinarily I would have just gone ahead and parked in the driveway or something, which even that's crazy. Cause then I wonder like, then would the vehicle like run up on the curb and like run through like my fence?
Maybe.
Like,
right.
Would have like ended up like in my yard. You know, which then maybe we would have like caught the people, but I don't know. I don't know. It's just so frustrating. And then if, like what made instances or what made matters worse from there, was then I have to go through the process of like getting my rental car, which there's like this whole debacle where like I call like one insurance agent and they're like, oh no, you don't have rental coverage. And I was like, that doesn't sound like me at all. Like, like I understand insurance is expensive and stuff like that, but I am not skimping that much like to not pay for rental coverage.
Right.
You know, like I have that. There's no way I don't have that. So then I get transferred to another person. I'm like, oh no, of course you have rental coverage. Like, don't worry about it. And then I go into the app and it's like, you don't have rental coverage. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like,
someone click a button.
Yeah. So yeah, someone do something. So it takes like a full day where I'm like Ubering back and forth to work and stuff like that. And just trying to get that, those details figured out. Finally, the car is ready. I go and they're like, the only thing that they approved you for was like the most basic compact sedan. And I was like, that's fine. It has wheels. It drives. No problem. So I'm going from driving like my big Toyota Tundra to a Toyota Corolla, which is a fine car. It's just very short to the ground.
Right. Very different than your usual experience.
Yes. And when I park it next to the curb, I am effectively trying to operate on a completely flat basis.
Right.
So I get home and I'm going to move the car seat so I can drive Addison to school in the morning into the car. And in the process of picking up the car seat, which weighs like, I don't know, 25 pounds or something, and pushing it forward like on my knees to like put it into the car seat, I slipped a rib, which is like a weird, just very painful thing that happens where like, if you can imagine where your rib kind of like attaches, to like your like spinal cord area, I guess.
Yeah. I never really think of like, I guess that is where your ribs start. I always think of them being like a front of your body sort of thing.
So this would be like on the back.
Yeah.
And so then it's like, I've got like Alice's whole family over for like a birthday dinner or whatever, and I'm like trying to do this thing quickly, and then my back is absolutely killing me, and it's just, it's a kind of pain that like, if you've ever had like the wind knocked out of you, it's like without having the blunt force of like falling to the ground or like falling out of a tree or tipping back in a chair or something like that, like it just happened. Like I like leaned forward, I set the car seat down, and then it was like, like, oh my God. And then I'm like, and then I was like, I'm going to throw up from the pain. Like,
right.
I'm just like, this is agonizing. And then of course we got the beer mile in just a couple of days. We've got like, you know, people from the Super Carlin Brothers community are like coming in to be involved. They, like, they've made like significant plans to like be there as like a part of this thing. And I'm like, I'm just kind of like having like a panic attack. I'm just sort of like freaking out because it's been just like such a bad week. So I make an emergency like chiropractor appointment the next day, and I walk in and the guy's like, oh yeah. Yep. No, I see exactly what happened. This sucks.
He can just see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just from like, the outside.
From the outside. Yeah. He's just like, yeah, you have slipped a rib, my man. And I'm like, great.
Can you like de-slip it or...
Well, and so, yeah, so he does like an adjustment and alignment, like all the things you do. I don't know. And there was some relief, but not like
there pure, wasn't like that like moment of like,
okay, I'm better now. No. Yeah, it was still quite painful. But it reminded me, honestly, a lot of this is going to sound like I'm giving myself way too much credit here. In the movie Miracle, which if anybody listens to the show, again, they know that we're a huge fan of. It's the 1980 Miracle on Ice, where the U.S. hockey team beat Russia very unexpectedly, or the, I guess it was the USSR then.
Yeah.
Rather unbelievably, but there's a scene in the semifinal match where one of the star players gets this like deep bone bruise, like on his like thigh. And you see the head coach go and talk to the medic, the doctor, the team doctor. And he's like asking him like all the questions. He's like, how bad is it? And it's like, well, it's very painful. And it's like, but like, how bad is it? Like, is he like
can he play?
Can he play? Yeah. And he's like, oh, well, I mean, he could play, but it'd be excruciatingly painful.
Right. Like, can it get worse?
Can it get worse? It's like, no, it'll just hurt. And it's like, good. That's all I needed to know.
Right.
And then he goes in and gives this insane pep talk. It's like one of the greatest scenes in all of like sports movies ever. But he like the coach goes in and he's like, put your streets back on. You're not playing hockey tonight.
Yeah, I thought you were tough.
I thought you were a hockey player.
And like, I am a hockey player.
Yeah. And he's like, they're flipping tables and getting all like,
and he walks out and he's like, that ought to do it.
Yeah. So good. But this is what the chiropractor is explaining to me. He's like, you can't do anything to it. Like, you're not going to make it worse. It just hurts.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, like, whatever. I can deal with that. Like, you know, pain is just pain. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Okay, so we're in what we may refer to as the end game, aka the holiday season. It can be a frantic time of year as a shopper, what with cold weather, busy parking lots, and stores full of people. But it wasn't until recently that I realized just how chaotic this season can be if you happen to be the vendor. In this case, of course, I'm speaking about our very own store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile. Shopify is huge this time of year when we are adding way more inventory than ever to the storefront to get you all loaded with just what you need in time for the holidays. And Shopify is packed with helpful AI tools that help write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography to help increase your reach during the busiest time of year. So if you want to give your customers the best experience possible this holiday season, you need Shopify. This Black Friday, join the thousands of new entrepreneurs hearing for the first time with Shopify. Sign up for your free trial today at shopify.com/poppop. That's shopify.com/pop. One last time for safety, shopify.com/poppop, and make this Black Friday one to remember. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Uncommon Goods. Yo, the holidays are just around the corner, and this is my personal reminder that it is never too early to start your shopping. And boy howdy, I couldn't be more excited to recommend an annual stop on my own holiday shopping, Uncommon Goods. Ever since I earned my first paycheck in the fish and reptile department of a pet store, gift giving is something I've had a blast with. And my goal has always been to like find that item that somebody didn't even know they wanted, but ended up being like their favorite thing that year. And Uncommon Goods is like a cheat code for this. They curate an incredible collection of things that fit into that like rare crosshairs of actually useful, thoughtful, and wow, I've never seen this before. So here's my current recommendation for winning the holidays: deep sea sand art. We have one of these in our office and our whole team is just constantly huddled around it, watching the calming, unique landscape it slowly makes throughout the day. Like, no joke, we have been obsessed with this thing. So check it out now, thank me later. Shop early, have fun, and cross names off your list today to get 15% off your next gift. Go to uncommongoods.com/pop pop. That's uncommongoods.com/pop pop for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. But it's, you know, it's still just frustrating. And when you got like a little child who wants you to pick her up and play with her and swing her in circles and stuff, it's just like every single action that you do, even just sitting like, you know, crisscross applesauce on the floor with her.
Yeah.
Hurts.
Mm-hmm. I understand the back pain. Yeah.
Yes. I know you do. Yeah. You've been there and you've got three boys who also like to clobber you as well.
So, yep.
So that happened and then that like, you know, it did chill out enough to the point where, we got to go to the beer mile.
Yeah. We have a minor uptick or minor positivity hump here.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
One of the longtime, you know, like community members, someone who we've known for years and years and years through all things Super Carlin Brothers, our good buddy, Paul, who I basically gush over whenever I have any available opportunity.
Yeah. We've got, if you're on our Google Hangouts, for like Patreon, then we have like a bingo card for things that like often come up in the calls. And one of the squares on the bingo cards is literally Ben gushes about Paul.
Paul is like just a great human being.
Truth. He is, yes.
In every single capacity. And he has been just such an amazing force of positivity, like from the other direction, I guess, from how these like online communities work. He's just been somebody who I feel like I've always like resonated with. And so he actually signed up for the beer mile independently with his brother, Matt. And he sent us invitations. He's not from Roanoke, mind you.
Yeah.
He's coming into town. He wants to participate in it. They were, if we had not decided to join them, they were just going to do the beer mile, just the two of them. And just each do two laps, two beers on their own. But we were like, no, we'll join.
We'll do it.
We love the beer mile. This sounds great. So we get out there. We're in this whole evening, actually, I would say is like the total peak of how the past several, like, you know, 10 days or whatever my life have gone. But we get out there, Paul and Matt are both in peak physical condition.
Oh my gosh. I mean, yes, they absolutely are. Matt, I want to say, he just is a runs for his college on the track team, and specifically runs the 4N800.
Yes.
And this is, you know, each person's doing one lap of the beer mile, so it is a 400.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's like, this is well tuned. And then Paul is he is in the military.
Yeah, he's a pilot in the army.
Yes. And so he is also, you know, through all of the various, I think, like, just being in the military alone is going to make you a fit individual.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that even by the military standards, Paul is like the top.
Has a special interest in fitness on top of it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Has done Iron Man, can lift heavy weights, all that type of stuff. So we get out there and then the other thing we can't fail to mention is that we were not the only Super Carlin Brothers themed contestants.
Yeah. Team.
In the beer mile,
we were not. There was, so we got there and we're expecting, you know, to meet Paul and Matt to go run. And then, like, we knew other people were coming into town and they all walk over and we're like, oh man, hey, what's up, guys? And we see they're like wearing matching shirts or whatever. And it wouldn't even be unlike them to have just made matching shirts for the sake of like cheering for us for like 20 minutes or whatever.
Yes, just for the pure camaraderie of the thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then we find out that they're like going over to the table and they have entered the beer mile themselves.
They have. Yes. As the element of surprise.
The element of surprise.
Oh my gosh. Which returns.
It was fantastic. So there was and then our team branding. So you have to come up with like a team name for, or like when you enter the beer mile, everyone has a team. And then they also, for whatever reason, like insist on incorporating some like overarching theme to the beer mile, which some people participate in and some people don't. And the theme this year was like circus or like under the big top or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, but we were not like in on the circus theming at all.
We were PB&J and Matt.
PB&J and Matt. So the PB&J being Paul, Ben, and Jay, and Matt.
And Matt.
Who was, which was, I thought was a really fun, it was just a really funny name. But then our, like, we did have coordinated outfits. If you watch the main channel, you might know that we have like a sort of a running gag in the Jay versus Ben's about Pete Malfoy, Lucius's brother who lives in Florida and runs the Gator Mail.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And he's just like your classic like bayou swamp.
Yeah. Swamp wizard.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Swamp wizard.
He's a swamp wizard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we made a three Gator Moon Pete Malfoy shirt.
Yes.
As like a piece of exclusive merch, mm-hmm, once upon a time. So if you know like the three Wolf Moon vibe,
right,
we went for exactly that, except
three gators, and instead of a moon it's Pete Malfoy.
Exactly. Yes.
So that's what they're like they're like black and blue tie-dye shirts with that image on it.
Yeah.
And so but Paul is actually a patron, so he had the shirt, and Matt is just his brother, so he didn't. So three of us had the shirt and we cut the sleeves off them, so we've made like our own tank tops out of our ridiculous shirts.
Yeah.
And it's like the theme is circus, the name is a sandwich, the shirts have nothing to do with either.
Right. Yes. So
we have like very little coordination at all. Fortunately, Paul had a Carlin Brothers coffee bike jersey that he lent Matt. So he was at least like Carlin Brothers adjacent.
I felt like the way our team thing worked though was that it was PB&J and Matt, and
yeah,
Matt was the outlier in the outfit and in the naming convention.
Exactly.
So and he was our anchor, which means he runs last. So
he was the leadoff.
Oh, you're absolutely right. You're right. He was the leadoff. Yes. Correct. Yes. Yeah.
So anyway, we didn't fit the theme at all of the event or our own name, but that didn't mean we weren't there to run.
That's exactly right.
Right.
That's exactly right. So as you guys, you may recall from last year, we competed as the GMA, the Green Mallard Association, yep, which also made no sense to anybody. And
yeah, because the theme last year was superheroes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And we were wearing duck in a cup t-shirts.
Yeah.
And wearing duck themed hats and like the kind of
coordinating sunglasses.
Yeah. So like, we just do not get it. Like the people are like, not them again. But we came in second and we lost to the dentists
last year. Yes, indeed.
So this was the thing, you know, we got down there and then sure enough, we looked down like five like slots mm-hmm. over from us are the dentists.
The dentists who are also not following the circus theme because they're back in action in their toothpaste, toothbrush, scrubs outfits.
Yep.
They're like, we're ready to run it back. We're the dentists, you know, here we are.
Right. Yeah. Yep. And so it was like, I was like, oh gosh, here we go again. But we kick things off and right away, you know, Matt, who also just turned 21, like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
He's like, he's very, very, very fast.
Yeah.
But I think like just by the pure nature of like only being 21, it's like he has not had like the, quite the available window of opportunity to get good at chugging, which I'm going to put a giant asterisk next to because also I'm 35.
Right.
And am also not good at all at chugging.
Right.
Sure. So I don't think it necessarily is an age related skill.
Right.
However, I think that is something worth mentioning.
Right.
But he still did amazing. And then took off like a freaking rocket.
Like someone shot him out of a gun.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it was just so unbelievably shockingly quick.
Yes.
And it was a delight to witness unfold. Yes.
I mean, I said he ran for his track team and I mean, he just looked like it. He was like so light on his feet. And the course, if you don't know, is the worst quarter mile ever. It is switchbacks up this terrible grassy hill. You're running on an angle the entire time.
Yes.
But you were watching Matt run and it was like every like movement of his body helped accelerate him forward in the most efficient way possible. And it was like, that's how people are supposed to look when they're running kind of way.
He was like tall, upright, like, you know, shoulders completely open, big, long strides,
right.
But like, you know, yeah, I mean, it just everything about it. You're like, you're watching an actual athlete do things.
Right.
And then there was us.
And then there's me and Ben who were, you know, and like, you know, in general, you know, right, like a little bit fit, you know, we're athletic in general,
right? Like if you were playing like a like if a bunch of people were at a park and you were playing like kickball, you'd probably pick us,
right? Yeah,
like exactly. At least in the top like four,
right?
Choices or something, like, you know, we're it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if we try, we can usually get like pretty good at stuff.
Exactly.
However, right now we're not very good at anything.
We're not like in particular training. I'm like swimming a couple days a week and that's like my amount of fitness at the moment.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, great exercise, but it's certainly not running. But anyway, so I'm running second and Matt comes in, he tags me, and I'll at least give myself credit for chugging the beer.
You did great.
In speed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And doubly so because for what ever reason they had 16-ounce beer
they
cans.
Did they switched up the so last year so when we first started doing back the beer mile when they introduced it they used to serve it in solo cups would like get the beer right out of there and then you just go out of the cup. You can drink a lot faster out of a cup than a can.
Yes.
But when they did it last year it was 12-ounce cans and we were like okay whatever, that's still not that big a deal. But this year they busted out 16-ounce cans and like a surprise move by the race organizers and we were like, whoa, okay, here we go. This is a little bit extra. Fortunately, we train with 16-ounce cups at the office.
It is true. Yeah. We do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had a great chug.
I had a great chug. And it was one of those situations where like Matt came through in first. And so it was like, hey, okay, I gotta hold this lead as best I can because I know like we are in front of the dentists right now, but I also know they are pretty quick.
Yes.
So I'm like chugging the beer as fast as I can. I get off and I'm like probably, I don't know, 3/4 of the way up the hill and it's switchback. So you can see the guy behind you kind of like running and I could tell he's a lot faster than me.
Sure.
Like I'm going as fast as I can, but I was like, that guy is mahooving. And I'm like, oh, he's going to like, I felt pretty sure he was going to catch me, but like, I just got to get as close as I can. Keep him behind me as long as I can. And I think I probably got about, like 3/4 of the way before he finally like caught me. But fortunately that was like right as we got to the downhill section. So it was harder for him to put too much more distance on me.
Right.
Yes. So I come down the stairs and I tag you.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was like, there's nothing. I'm a bad enough sugar as it is. And so they also had non-alcoholic beers.
Yeah.
And those were 12-ounce cans.
Oh, okay.
And I was like,
made a tactical decision.
Absolutely. I'm like, I'm taking the strategic path here, like no messing around. And so I kicked the beer back, and I would say it was actually like a reasonably, like for me, I would say it was a reasonably okay chug.
Yeah.
Like not my worst or anything. I probably poured like maybe like half an ounce on my head when all was said and done. Cause you have to like hold the can upside down over your head just to make sure it's like empty. Throw it in the can, start like, you know, booking it up the thing. And one of the things I always run into with the beer mile is the carbonation inside of me just manifests so fast.
I mean, that's part of that's part of the challenge,
right? So I made it, you know, like up the stairs, around the first corner or whatever, and I'm like doing like the first switchback, and I had this like ungodly like full can of beer belch come out of me,
nice,
like uncontrollably, like, you know, it was just like one of those things where it was like that was like an amount of air inside of my body that had to come out, and then it did, and I was like, oh, ho, I got it now.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I've like a gear like switched. And I mean, not to say I was still anywhere nearly as fast as Paul or Matt, but I felt like I was able to like go faster,
right?
And you know, get up through all the switchbacks and everything, rip through. You know, I'm at this point in time, we are behind the dentist.
We are behind the dentists. Yes.
Yeah. So slap hands with Paul, who, like, goodness. I mean, if we're talking about Matt being like tall and upright and long, Paul is like a completely different animal when it comes to like how he moves.
Right.
So one, he kills his jug because it's Paul.
Well, so what happened was like the dentists came in ahead of you and they tagged their fourth person, their anchor.
Yeah.
But it turns out he's terrible at drinking.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Okay. Yeah. Because you were running.
Yeah.
But me and Paul are sitting there watching this guy, and he is like taken forever to get the beer down. And I was like, Paul, Ben is coming. Like if you can slam this chug, you can absolutely catch this guy.
Yeah.
And he is like looking at him like, yeah, okay. Yeah. 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 I'm like, Paul's extremely competitive.
Oh yeah. 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 But so like what I think is remarkable though. Yeah. So he gets his beer down, but then like the way in which Paul takes off is awesome. Like, I mean, this is like a person who is like running like a bowling ball or something, like pure power.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just almost as if he like leaned forward and was like each and every step was like jumping forward.
Well, so like we all know Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, right?
Yeah.
Right. So and everyone loves him in that role. But the only critique people ever have is that like in the comics, Wolverine is a short, stocky guy, not a like giant, huge, like Hugh Jackman type guy.
Sure.
So that I can only imagine how Paul moves is how the Wolverine actually moves.
I could completely see that. So Paul is Wolverine.
Paul's Wolverine.
New headcanon.
There you go.
You're welcome, Paul, for the new nickname. But yeah, like, I mean, so he just starts taking off, and I mean, he's flying up the stairs, and then you have this like 90 degree right hand turn. He literally almost like runs through a pole.
Yeah.
Like that is like mounted there. Rips around, goes through like another tiny little sets of stairs. And I mean, he is gaining on the guy in front
of him. On the dentist.
In no time.
Yes.
And then he puts massive distance.
Right.
He passes him.
Like, have you ever been anchoring a relay when your team was winning?
Have I ever been anchoring a relay? I have no idea.
Okay. Yeah. I remember one race in particular when I did indoor track in high school.
Okay.
And we were running at VMI and we were running the 4x4.
Okay.
And they, for whatever reason, my team was just like, Carlin, you're anchoring. And I'm like, okay, cool. I got it. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you don't think it's like, okay, what, whatever, you know, am I expecting to win? I don't know. Not necessarily.
Right.
You know, but sure enough, you know, you're watching the race go around and it's like, oh my gosh, we are in the lead and I'm about to have to like take the baton and bring it home. It will absolutely be my fault if we don't win the race.
Oh geez.
You know? And it is like, there is a kind of adrenaline that takes over your body when that pressure is on that like nothing, like everything else in the world disappeared.
Right,
you know, it is just like, it doesn't matter how much you can't breathe, how in pain you might be. All that matters is if you don't leave every drop of effort out there, it is going to, there will be no recovering. There'll be no forgiving yourself.
Right.
Kind of thing. And I remember just going, and it's like in indoor, it was like, I think it was like a 100 meter track. So you had to do like two laps around or whatever.
Okay.
Whatever. It was two laps around. And I remember coming around that final turn and coming across the line first. And I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe we just won. Like, you know, it was a really cool feeling, but I'm not usually the one anchoring stuff. But so Paul passes this guy, and like, even though there's the switchbacks and like you can see the other people coming, Paul has no awareness of where the other guy is behind him. As far as he knows, that guy is like
on his heels,
just was like, oh no, you can't pass me, you know, kind of thing. So he is tearing up the course.
Yes, just going full bore. And then of course, like, you come sprinting downstairs again to the finish line, hard left turn into the finishing chute where the three of us were waiting for Paul. Paul rips around the corner, and I mean, like, is literally stumbling through the finish line, like he's like accelerating so fast that it's like, and I mean, I had no idea. I had no idea to what extent this was true or not. We all catch him as he comes through the finish line. He's like, dude, if you guys hadn't caught me, I was going down.
I was going to eat pavement. Yeah. Right.
And it was just like, oh my God, thank goodness we were there.
I know.
But like, yeah, so we won. We won the beer mile.
We won the beer mile, an event that we have been trying to win for 8 years.
I mean, we have done it.
And we did it.
We did it. We won.
We did. We won the beer mile. I can't believe it, Ben.
It was so awesome. Yes. And it was like one of those things like where we won. And I guess because we've never won in the past, we didn't realize there was like a prize either. And so like the dentist come over to us. They're like, congrats on your new pair of shoes.
Oh, they were salty.
Yeah. You could tell.
Like, they really didn't think there was going to be any competition.
No, Mm-mm. none whatsoever.
Nope.
Like, they had these like looks in their eyes where it was like they were trying to find a world where they could like muster like some like respect or something. But it was really just like, yeah, good job.
Right.
Yeah, you guys, you did it, and enjoy your new shoes. And we're like, new shoes. And they're like, yeah, you get new shoes if you win. And it's like, also like, that's them explaining to us the fact that there's a prize that we didn't know that they were anticipating receiving.
Right.
And it was like, oh, really now?
Yeah.
So all four of us also got a brand new, we got a voucher.
A voucher for new shoes. Yeah. Yes. So I have to go pick those up.
I know.
I was pretty excited about it. So I think now the pressure is on for next year, you know, because I guarantee they're coming back.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
They definitely are.
Yeah. They're not going to, I don't think they took, I think my guess is that they loved being the guys who won the beer mile at their dentist office for the past 365 days.
I suspect that if you go into their office, that there is like a, you know, like a trophy or like a thing that sort of like, you know, like demonstrates their glory or whatever. They're also all quite good looking, which is just real insult to injury if you're any other human being, because I mean,
we were a fairly good looking team.
Well, sure.
But I don't want to like pat my own back, but the three of you looked good at least.
You looked great too.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure the dentist even complimented your mustache.
Well, yeah, they did. At the very least, I did have a great like circus style like ringmaster or strongman kind of mustache.
You did have that, you know, going for you.
Rocking. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was great. So anyway, we did it. We did it at last long.
We did it.
I was so stoked. But that was basically the my only relationship.
That was your GoFest experience.
That was my GoFest experience because I didn't get to see another single second of it afterwards, because I woke up the next morning and I was like, ah, man, like, you know, maybe I'm just like really sore and achy from, you know, doing the beer mile, because like, you know, how often do you run full speed?
Like just go full sprint out of nowhere.
Right. And you know, like we were on tour, but 3 weeks ago, and I think that is accurate. You know, so I mean, like there's been like lots of interruptions, like the weeks leading up to it, we were super busy. So it has not been like the healthiest 2 months of my life by a long shot.
Sure.
You know, I mean, and all that travel and everything wears you out as it is. But yeah, so I was like, well, maybe I'm just like sore from like the beer mile, or like, you know, and I drank a non-alcoholic beer, so I was like, I'm not like hungover or something. Like,
right.
I don't know what this could be. But as the day is progressing, I am just like, oh no. I even texted you that morning. I was like, hey, you got GoFest plans? And you were like, yep. then, you know, I'm like, I'll just see Jay at GoFest. It'll be great.
Oh, I know. Because I remember at, like, when we were, you know, we were down there with, like, mom and dad, and, like, we left, and I was like, Beth was like, wasn't Ben going to come down? Where'd he go? Like, we're, like, I'm surprised that we're texted back. And I was like, that was weird. He texted me about GoFest plans.
This is exactly right. Yeah. And I was just like, basically what was happening was having like one of the worst possible days, trying to parent while you are sick, especially before you even realize you're sick and you just feel horrible otherwise, is a very difficult task.
No doubt.
And if you ever want to see a rather friendly side of Reddit, it is a great place to go and just see like a thread, like how to parent, while sick, because if there is ever a time that Redditors are completely understanding of your humanity, it is under this particular circumstance.
Nice.
And they are like, yeah, no, it's just hard. Like, you know, break the screen time rules, feed them what they'll eat, have dinner on the couch, you know, like all the stuff just kind of goes out the window. You're in survival mode. And that was the thing, is that, you know, I mean, and really, like, you know, Alice was working on Saturday. And as soon as she got home, Alice is a superhero anyway, so she was amazing. But, you know, like that, they're just trying to get through that first day by myself was straight lousy. And then, I mean, I was so sick. I was out Saturday, GoFest, Sunday, GoFest. I didn't come to work for 2 days this week. Like, it has been a long, long haul.
Yeah, it absolutely has. So I'm glad you're feeling somewhat better.
Yeah. There is that. But then there's also like the rather the other negative thing that happened to kick all of this off. So all of this has happened after the worst part of the rest of it.
Oh.
So like everything I've just described came after, yeah, like what was the bad part, basically, which all started, I guess, technically while we were on tour. I got a FaceTime call from Alice in the middle of the day while we were in Chicago. And it was like we had two free days the whole time we were out there. And this was one of them. And she was like driving to work, and you know, she's pulled over on like the side of the road, and she's just sort of like talking to me. And then she basically is, I don't even know how she said it. She filmed it. She got halfway through the conversation. She's like, by the way, I'm pregnant.
What?
And I know. And it was just like, oh my gosh, I'm just like you know, it's honestly, I love the video, and it sucks given the rest of the story, because it was like one of those things where like, I had no idea that was coming. And like, I was so happy when she showed me the video of her telling me, because like my reaction, I was like, oh my gosh, like you can just see like the pure like shock and excitement, like as like an external person watching myself, like it was just like neat to see that unfold. Yeah. It was like, oh my God, that was like real emotion from you. Like that was just, it was so exciting. But it was just kind of like, you know, like little secret that, you know, you're sort of keeping then to yourself. Like obviously like while you're out on tour, you've got like a million things going on, and like we're so busy, and there's all this stuff, but then you've also got like time on the road, and you know, so you're just thinking about all of it,
right?
You know, and all the stuff, and then you know, you're like at all the gift shops, of course, you know, in all the different cool places that you're visiting, and they've got like all the little like onesies, and like the whole time I'm there, I'm like, oh my gosh, I should like, you know, I should get one, because like this is like when I find out, and I don't know. So you're just like you're every like little thing makes you think of it. And you know, so we get home, and you know, we're kind of going through like all the early stages of it, the morning sickness, and some of those like early bits. And you know, we've gone through this obviously several times before, but then the Friday before the drunk driver hit my car on that Monday night, we were actually doing a box breaker stream, and it was like right at the end of the afternoon, and we've all just been kind of like laughing and having a good time, and you know, everything's going great. And I saw Alice was calling me at like, you know, like 4:40 or something like that, which is like a strange time for her to just like call me
right
out of the blue. And so if you even, I mean, you could probably even go back and watch literally right at the end of the stream, and like you'll see me like get a phone call and like walk away from the table or whatever. And She comes back, or you know, I go and answer the phone, and she's just, you know, crying. And basically she had started the process of having a miscarriage. And we didn't know for sure at that moment that that's what was happening. But then it, like, out throughout the course of that evening, it just got worse and worse and worse. And it was like, yeah, okay.
Right.
That is what happened. And so it is now the sixth time that we have been pregnant, with just one child.
Goodness. Wow.
So it's,
yeah, that's a lot to, that's a very, like, rough news for sure, just to be dealing with at all, and then to have someone smash your car a few days later, and then to get sick.
Yes.
And to slip a rib.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then to miss Go Fest and,
yeah.
Yeah.
And just be sick on,
and just be sick on top of it all.
Yeah. And I mean, not the least of which, because, like, you know, it, a huge portion of this is, like, you know, it's emotionally taxing for both me and Alice, but it's physically, like, something that she's having to deal with every day in the wake of it. And then she's having to, like, try to, you know, be empathetic to, like, my situation and, like, all the stressful stuff that, like, I'm trying to go through. But at the same rate, like, you know, like, we're both at, like, limits, you know, like, we're both just, like, fully taxed.
I mean, there's yeah, so much that I have to imagine, there's so much, like, happening in that news, like, from, on the one hand, like, Alice was feeling sick because of the pregnancy.
Yeah.
Which is just, you know, sometimes part of it, but it doesn't make it, like, an easy part, even if it's, like, a happy thing. But then you know, at least she feels better. So there's that. But then you could even, like, maybe feel guilty for feeling better, or feeling happy that you feel better because of the reasoning. Then there's, like, the, you know, you said it's, like, the, like, fifth time it's happened, and that's, you know, it's probably hard to get your hopes up over and over. And I imagine at some point you have to, like, then you're each on, it probably means different things personally to each of you. And then it obviously means, like, things to you as a couple. And it's like, do we, you know, how many times do you want to, like, roll the dice on this situation? And, you know, there's so many different fountains of emotional, like, I don't know, trauma that you're dealing with all at the same time that are, like, overflowing, and then someone hits your car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's exactly it too. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, it's odd because you mourn something, like, that in real time as it unfolds, there's, like, yeah, you're right. Like, there's, like, the nausea gets reversed almost immediately, or if that's what happened in our case. And that's helpful in, like, a very short term perspective. And then, of course, like, I mean, we were only 6 weeks in, so it's not like, there are plenty of people who may not have even known they were pregnant yet, you know, like,
sure,
there's plenty of people that you know, it could have just been so early and you just don't experience those early pregnancy symptoms that, you know, you wouldn't have had that. I don't know. But there, it's, when it comes to kids, it's really strange because every minute that you're aware that you think that they're coming, it's like you're painting a picture of the future in your head.
Right.
And so it's like, it's not that much time, but it's like, that means that basically every minute of every day for 3 weeks, that's what I was thinking about, you know,
right.
And like you're repositioning, like, everything. You're thinking about how these things will impact Addison. You're thinking about how these things will impact us, and like what it'll, like, you know, how exciting it'll be. And, like, I don't know, just everything, every single little detail about the future. And it's like the emotional whiplash is crazy. And that's what happens. Like, that's just what sucks. So anyway, like, I talk about it not, you know, because I hesitated to bring it up again because I was like, this has happened to me so many times. And I know I've shared it on the pop, and like, I don't want it to be this defining characteristic of who we are, because I don't think that's how we look at it.
Oh, I definitely don't think that.
But you know, it's like you talk to people and you know that everyone has their own troubles when it comes to stuff like this, and it's not always the same. You know, everybody has a slightly different experience, but I don't know. It's just if there's something that like I feel like I can do is just like share the human side.
Yeah.
You know, like it happens to everyone, in different ways. And so it feels like cliche to say like, you know, you're not like alone or something. And maybe that's not like the right way to phrase what I'm trying to say. But
I'm sure there are people who feel very alone in situations like this because it feels very like center. It's like probably like one of the most unusual, biggest things that happens to you. And it's hard to have a shared experience on that front.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, it is. And you know, there's lots of advisement out there about not sharing the news, obviously, too early, because things like this can happen. And I go both ways with it, where it's hard to see all the people you love who, you know, like in like my inner circle, you guys knew, obviously. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot, you know, it's like it's hard because it doesn't just impact you, you know, like, I mean, like this would be like a new family member for you, for our parents, for Alice's parents, like for Addison, you know, for everybody involved. Like, it's like, you know, it's like, there's a lot of people who are emotionally impacted by it. And it's like, it's both hard to like see like the look in everybody's eyes, but there's also something to be said for the support system that is then available to come out, and help you, which has been great. Everybody's been great. You know, I mean, the people come through in just such amazing ways. I don't know. So yeah, it's been a rough go. It's been and it's like you show up and you, you want to, like, I don't know. You want to be like the upbeat people that we are.
Mm-hmm.
Normally that's not so hard, but when the distance is traveling a bit further from where you're feeling, it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you've had an extremely, extremely difficult like week and a half here through a very crazy series of unfortunate events, but I think it is extremely like brave to just come onto the podcast and just share it at all, because you know you certainly don't have to. And I mean, it's happened to you a bunch of times now. It's like, it's really, you know, it probably is something you need to talk about. And it's difficult to manage that, and I don't think anyone is feeling like, you know, disappointed or anything in you guys. I mean, there's certainly, it's like, it's, I mean, if anything, like I was coming home and like, you know, like sometimes you'll have these days where it's like, or you read about this with kids a lot, where it's like, if they'll come home from school and it's like, they've had a really hard time at school or they've been having to listen to all these rules all day, but then they come home and they just sort of like, it feels like they're like misbehaving or not listening, but it's actually because they feel super safe,
right,
in that environment suddenly. And like, you're just having to deal with them, you know, in that moment where they're finally able to like release it. And I feel like I kept having a few days, even just myself coming home, and like that would happen. Like I'd be all holding it together. And I was like, man, I just can't believe what Ben is going through like right now again. So I was having these weird days where I would come home from work and just sort of like, Just have like all these emotions like flood out of me as well. But it's like, it's hard because you don't know what, like, I'm sure each time you do it, it's like, it's just like this renewed cycle of like hope. And then it's like, do we want to go through it again? Or because the other option is like facing the, like, this is the, or is this the, this, is this the final form of my family as it stands? And is that what I anticipated or planned for? And, you know, just coming to terms with those kind of decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I think that's it exactly. And yeah, it, you're right. Like, it's like, you know, cause it's like, you can only handle it so many times. And, like sometimes I think like when a bad thing happens, there's almost like this weird piece of relief that I feel like will happen in the back of my mind where it's almost like I'm an anxious person anyway. And so I think I anticipate bad things happening all the time. Like I'm always expecting it. I'm always thinking about it. I'm always worrying about it. And so sometimes I almost feel like when the bad thing does happen, it's almost like I'm like, okay, but now this is the devil I know. Like now I know what the bad thing was. And so it's like, now at least I have like some relief from the bad thing happening again. And that's where it's like, like the fact that we've gone through so many versions of this and it's gone so poorly, you know, you're like, well, it can't, like it's almost like we've had the trials, you know, it's like, we've been through the hard parts. Like it can't happen again.
Right.
You know? But I just don't think that's the way the world works, all the time. And, you know, I mean, it's like anything. Again, I think it's interesting because I think a lot of the things that are racing through my mind right now, they feel like platitudes. Like, you know, you become grateful for the things that you do have, but like, it's odd. I've mentioned before how like my relationship with like my dogs, for example, I felt like became a little more distant, like when Addison was born, because everything was about like making sure Addison was getting sleep. And if the dogs were barking, then like a lot of times it was like, you know, it can throw off a multitude of different things or whatever. So it was just like more often than not, it felt like the dogs could be contributing to like a negative outcome versus like a positive outcome. But like, you know, I think like over just like the past several days, like they like have slept with me while I was like sick, and like they're just like, you know, laid at my feet or whatever, or like laid on my side. And it's like, you, and I'm like, I get to the end of every day, I'm just like, you guys are just there for me. Like, and it's like, I do feel like I've just, like, you know, you try to be grateful for what is there, what has worked out. And fortunately for us, and I mean, it sounds so generic, but maybe it's just because it's just, this is the human experience, is like, you know, when bad things happen, you try to focus on the good things. And
right.
So that's what I'm doing. And we're okay. Like, you know, I think it's, obviously there's lots of conversations and discussions and things we're scared to approach and things we're trying to be open about and honest about and feel our feelings and all those types of things. And so you just keep wading through it and, look for the next.
Right.
Yep. But I don't know. I don't know if I have any more I can add, and I'm sure I can't talk about anything else. So. Well,
that's okay. I think we'll probably just call it right there. Thank you so much for sharing, though.
Thank you.
Yep,
absolutely. But I think that's everything for today, you guys. Thank you so much, as always, for your support. This community is truly tremendous. You know, it's really anything, anytime we meet anybody who listens or watches any of our various shows, out in the real world, there is like a really great something. I feel like a broken record about it, but you know, it's like you feel good to know that the people who tune in are these people, because it means that like the people who have decided to lend their ears to what we have to say,
yeah,
are nice people. And so thank you guys for being those people. But otherwise, until next time,
pop pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.